Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. It's Friday night. Yeah, it's that time again. This is Ben and Pomerantz, and this is Anything Goes. I gotta tell you, I have a plethora of guests coming up this year. And three different people suggested her. I mean, I didn't arrange, you know, it's like three different people that, oh, you've got Nina Farrow coming? Yes. And I'm like, okay. Now, if it was one or two, I'd say, okay, it's a fluke. But three, it's not a fluke. And so, since I have this lovely, beautiful lady on my earwaves, good evening, Nina.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm fine. Always busy. I have monthly release schedules, so I keep pretty much working 24/7 in my studio.
Oh, right, okay, you're one of the few that don't call it a writer's hovel or their inner sanctum. So you have a studio.
Well, okay, my husband's self-employed, so I call it my studio because it also houses all my musical instruments, as opposed to his office. If we both called it office, it would get really confusing.
No, we just get a sign saying Nina's and husband's. You know, that would work.
Yeah, yeah. He's a farmer, so I'm the farmer's wife. I was actually the proverbial farmer's daughter growing up.
Well, a friend of mine, and I love him dearly. He's a farmer as well. He really is. He took one of his old barns, and when he started writing, he would get rejection letters, and he would shellac them to the wall. Oh, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I
can see that happening. It's just very visual. Yes.
He shellacks them to the wall. Now, above the shellacks, he had framed pictures of checks or magazine covers or whatever. You know, if he wrote for what she did, Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine, hey, picture of Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine where he's in with a copy of the check. Above, say, rejections from Playboy and Red Book or whatever, but I'm like, you know. And that's his, he's already going on the second coat. But, it's a big, it used to have cows, and he's cleaned it out, and it doesn't have a cow smell. And he's got a lovely desk with not every tool in the shed, but close. The computer and the heater and, oh, yeah, he goes out there because the other barn, which is his son now runs the farm. And his other barn is, of course, where his son is. And he's, of course, in the old one, which is, he says, smaller. I think it's the size of a good hangar. You can put a plane in it.
Well, maybe slightly smaller, but no, any of us that grew up on farms know barn size does vary, you know, and style. I grew up actually in the house that my grandparents built, so it was a family farm. My dad took it over, and then I married a farmer and moved away from home.
Well, but it's a big room. God, you could hold a barn dance in that room.
Yeah. How did I know you were going there?
Hey, what can I tell you?
Yeah, that's the kind of country that I grew up in. They were all over the place. Still are. Our neighbor, we don't have a barn here, but our neighbor has donkeys.
So, as I said, his turn down letters are all on the wall. Rejection letters are all
over. Yeah, I had a friend, she's actually going through cancer treatment, and received her 1,000th rejection letter while she was undergoing treatment. But she still was sending them out.
Well, he, of course, yeah, thank God he's healthy as a horse. But make a long story short, he still puts another one on. And, you know, no family pictures, no other pictures. Just
well, that's his writing space, though. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, to me, it's like, I mean, he has other toys. You know, he has a dictaphone. He has a stereo. Oh, yeah, he has every modern convenience, supposedly. He has a television just in case. He doesn't use it that often, but if somebody sends him a screener, he watches it. I loaned him a copy of Gene Spacusa's The Scarapist, and he's like, that scared the fuck out of me. And I said, yep, it's that good. And Gene's been a guest on this show, too. And he just basically, you know, we were talking about film and horror because that's what he usually writes. And so he has a lovely time with it. So
now, my stories are kinder and gentler than that, though.
Well, let me ask you. Danny asks, how did you start? When did you realize you wanted to be a writer, and how did you start?
Well, I started writing when I was actually in grade school. I wrote my first time travel when I was in seventh grade. So my first magazine article.
That was
article
last
when
year,
I was,
right?
When I was in high school. Oh, honey, I'm 62. So I've been around the block a little bit.
Oh, come on. I'm trying to be a gentleman.
I know.
I'm trying to be a gentleman.
He said young lady. It's like, oh, ego stroke. But no, I've been interested in
reading. Let me say this.
You know,
my radio partner. Understand. But my radio partner has just turned, and I'm not going to say the age, and so I wrote her because Monday was her birthday. Sarah Abram will be back on the Lico Show with me on Monday, by the way, people. But her birthday was last Monday, and I said, I have a birthday cake with 16 candles. I got it right. And she says, I love you. XOXO.
Yeah, see, age is just a number. Attitude is everything. People in my family tend to live to 100 or more, so, and the women in my family are blessed with really great skin. So if you see my publicity photo on social media, that's me, a self-portrait at age 60.
You look wonderful.
Please
don't take this wrong. I would say a good 40.
No, I'll take that as a compliment. I do not look my age. I don't feel my age. I don't act my age sometimes. But, attitude is everything. Age is just a number. But how I got started writing romance, let's start there.
Okay,
I was a young
let's
mother,
start there.
With two small children at home, and I discovered a used bookstore, and they had romance novels. And I really hadn't read much beyond, you know, classics. I didn't even really read much as far as contemporary literature goes. I was always into the classic literature. And I found that I really liked them. They inspired me. They filled a need. It clicked. It just clicked with me. And so I started writing romance, actually, at my husband's suggestion. He saw how many books I was devouring, and he said, well, you know, you could write that, and I did. I didn't have much luck with it. I think I've had 3 agents over the course of my career, none of really which did much for me. But it got me into Romance Writers of America. I was in the Missouri chapter of Romance Writers of America, which is St. Louis-based. Which is my general area. It's a driving distance anyway. And we had a very large group, a lot of published and well-published authors. I mean, I've met Nora Roberts. I've met Jane Ann Krantz and Karen Robards. And, you know, it gave me an opportunity to really meet and learn from some of the best in the business. You have to learn where art and commerce meet. And that was back in the day that indie publishing wasn't there. The technology wasn't there. It was either a standard house or vanity press. That was your two choices.
Or a fanzine. I will say this. Or a fanzine.
Well, back, you know, 25, 30 years ago, honey.
Yeah, we're talking fanzines. You're talking where basically it was mimeographed and sold at conventions.
Of course, we were in book-length fiction, so, you know, I'm not familiar with that as far as my publishing career goes. But I was fortunate enough to find a critique group that helped me learn to hone my craft. It's one thing to be able to communicate a story, but a lot of it is knowing where the story starts versus where the book begins, because you have all this history, all this backstory, and one of the hardest things for some new writers to learn is where to start the book.
And where do you start the book?
Well, you want to start hopefully in the middle of action or with a hook, and whether it's a catchy line in the middle of drama. You want to engage the reader's attention. You want to draw them into your world and keep them there. That suspension of disbelief, that's what will carry a reader through your story. Even if things get a little bit, you know, not realistic, if you've got them, they will forgive you some things. I write, in my Three Graces series, one of my characters is a psychic medium, and I've done readings at psychic fairs. I have, forget Dionne Warwick, I've got psychic friends out the wazoo. So I've got a lot of people that I could call on with various forms of different psychic gifts, and of course, everyone is a unique individual, so they're all very, very different. I mean, not everybody can communicate with animals, or not everybody is a tree whisperer or a medium. I mean, you get somebody that's a true medium or true telepath, and they're just never alone. They have to sleep with the TV on for white noise because of the voices.
Mm-hmm.
So I use a lot of my experience and experience of people that I know in crafting her story, and it's about three reincarnated soulmates that are together again, and the purpose is for healing the wounded veteran with PTSD, and it's an ongoing issue that threads back through several lifetimes, but this is just the most current one. And so they're together again, they find each other again, connect again, and I actually brought them back for a honeymoon book in the Three Graces book 6, and that was the first book that I published as an independent author. I had 4 books out with Dark Hollows Press, which is now Painted Hearts Publishing. And so the first 3 Graces were with them, and a sci-fi fantasy called Dark Moon's Rising. It's like on the most dangerous night of the year, a daughter of light finds unexpected sanctuary with 2 dark lords. They're centaur shifters.
You are sending it. This is my Christmas gift, right?
Yeah, if
this is the one you're sending me for Christmas, right?
You know, let me know. Well, actually, that'll become a series hopefully next year. But I'll tell you right now, my writing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm getting the advanced reading copy of the first one so I can get right into the series.
Oh yeah. Well, it's like I'm coming out with a new motorcycle series and MC books, motorcycle clubs. It's a huge subgenre in erotic romance, and not so much erotica, but I'm going to go backtrack to writing romance. I didn't have much luck, and I kept writing, but I just started shelving stuff. But I also write other things. I write music. I write children's books. I've got one documentary screenplay under my literary belt. Which gives me a lot of street cred where my peeps are concerned, because
I know. I mean, I don't know where this. I don't get me wrong. I do not think I'm trying to be rude, but it's like I don't know where to start with you. We're all over the map. I mean,
yeah, well,
can we put
you know,
a finger
I write
on?
Under 3 names, so everyone is it's slotted for branding. My legal name is my nonfiction, my children's books, my documentary screenplay, my music, my poetry. That's all freelance articles. That's all under my legal name. I write
romance.
So
your husband got you started with this. What did he think of this?
Well, he was all for it. He's been my mainstay, my encouragement. Now, granted, he doesn't read what I write as far as the romance and the erotic romance goes. He reads my nonfiction and my children's stuff. But and has me sing to him when I write music. But, you know, at the other books, you know, he will listen. I can bounce ideas off of him. If I have a question about an aspect of something that he's familiar with that I'm not, I can use him to, again, for research purposes, you know, because he's a farmer, so he's used to, you know, working on vehicles and doing things that I don't.
Well, let me ask you, since he is a farmer and you can bounce the idea off him, has he read any of your work?
Not my Nia Farrell or Aaron Ellender Quinn stuff, no. No,
okay.
And he never will. And my daughters won't even read my stuff. They're embarrassed. They're uncomfortable about with their mother writing about sex. It's just awkward for them. And it can be another author.
Not
that's
to be
fine,
rude,
not,
how
not
old
mother.
Are your daughters?
37 and 35.
And they're uncomfortable. Okay.
No, with my writing.
Okay.
I mean, they can read it from another writer, but they're uncomfortable reading what their mother writes. And that's fine. That's their choice. That's fine. They do support me emotionally. You know, kudos, Mom. Yeah, you won an award. Yeah, you got voted best, whatever. But that's all I'll hear from them.
As long as you don't do a 50 Shades of Grey, then they won't go crazy. It's like, Mom, you're okay. Have they ever been with you at a signing, say?
No. And actually, the only signings I've done are with my nonfiction and children's books at this point. So I'm working to that in that direction. I'm just not quite there yet. For one thing, I live in Podunk, USA. I mean, I'm in rural mid-America. I'm 90 minutes from St. Louis. So there's not a lot. I mean, my closest bookstore is 50 minutes away.
Well, no. Your closest bookstore is about right on your computer keyboard. There's plenty of books.
Well, as far as doing book signings alive, the opportunities are slim to none.
Exactly.
Unless, you know, the nonfiction, you know, like the local history museum, I can go in there and I can sign my Civil War books, you know, or I can do my children's books. So, and once in a while I'll do an outdoor event, and have my books there. But it's usually a historical reenactment or something to that, or a lecture that I'm doing. But as far as regular book signings where I have the erotic romance or the historical romance, no, I haven't had a book signing with those yet, but I'm really looking forward to it because I love meeting people. I love meeting readers, listening to their ideas. The book that I've just got out, I just read a couple of new reviews on Amazon today, and one of them swears it's the best couple in the series, in my Replay Resort series. And it's a sixth book, so they kind of say that almost every book. The series just keeps getting better and better, and right now I've got 45 story ideas in it, and people are asking about certain characters when their story is going to happen, and it's very gratifying. But that series is getting me a lot of buzz in the industry. I was asked to do an interview for Affair de Cour magazine, and to be a
yeah,
really
I know
author
very
like
well.
I am.
If you look, I was a staff member from them, so I know Affair very well. I also know
Louise.
Yeah,
well, for a little indie author that I've never paid for a print ad with them, and to be asked to be in the magazine and get a two-page spread, that's pretty
phenomenal.
Yeah,
that's Louise and her magic. I love Louise. Louise Sneed is the best editor in the world. But I'm prejudiced. You have to understand. I was going to bring it up, but you brought it up. Sheesh. But no, Louise Sneed is one of the best publishing editors in the world. I'm allowed
to
say that.
Yeah, and I was very, very honored to be asked, to be in their magazine. It was, and that's one thing my mother's getting for Mother's Day is a copy of the magazine.
Well, congratulations. It really, I'm very, very, very happy. Let me ask you a simple question.
Yeah.
This is from Monica, and I want to make sure Monica gets this question, because she's been bugging me on Facebook for the last 20 minutes. She said, with all the awards, is there any special favorite one you have?
Well, As Wicked As You Want is my biggest, naughtiest book that I've ever written to date. It's 155,000, almost 500 words, 609 pages. It's a Victorian erotic menage, which is kind of unusual in itself. But I use my experience as a Civil War reenactor to craft a story that's set in the election year of 1868. And it's when Grant was running for president. And it's the heroine is a crossdresser. She's been living her brother's life since she served in the Civil War. He died. She was a Union sympathizer living in Richmond, so she buried him in secret in their father's rose garden. She's cut her hair, donned men's clothes, snuck out through enemy lines, and made her way to the Union lines, and ended up with the Fighting 69th and the Irish Brigade. And so I use a lot of our Civil War experience and my history research. I'm an armchair historian and an amateur genealogist.
But believe me, it shows, dear, it shows. But
I really put a lot of research into all my books. I mean, just it.
Well,
to me, nothing less than perfect will do. I'm very much a perfectionist, and tell the story the best way that I can, that I'm entrusted to tell, and hopefully people will enjoy it, and they seem to. But that's such a special book just because of the concept of it. And it's not an instant menage. It's a relationship they have to work into. And that's another thing that people like, because it unfolds over the course of many pages. And it really lets the people get into the characters and share that journey with them. And that one was named number one erotica, even though it's an erotic romance. Number one erotica,
yeah,
and number 10 overall of the 50 best indie books of 2016.
I know. I'm impressed. Do I kiss your ring now?
No. And so that's special. But, really the thing that stands out the most is the first time a reader nominated one of my characters, one of my heroines, as her favorite book character. When you think of all the titles out there, that's one thing. But when you think of all the characters and someone names your heroine their favorite, that was awesome. Rachel is a woman who's she's got post-rape PTSD. She's got a 3-year-old autistic daughter, father unknown, and the most likely candidates are her former lovers. One was a biker and one was a porn star. And she's been living another person's life since she was taken by a rival motorcycle gang and raped and survived, but the other girl was killed. So they looked enough alike, she took the other girl's identity, and she's been living this other life to protect herself and her daughter. Well, they find out that she's still alive, and they come for her, but she's not the woman they knew.
Let me get two things done, because I need to get to my homework in a minute, and that's important,
sure,
too. But Donatella, who is one of the biggest fans, hiya, Donatella. Okay, she basically asked this question of you. If a fan of yours or someone, how would they get a hold of you? We're not leaving yet, but they would. She wants to know now.
Well, no, I've got an author page on Facebook. She could always
okay.
message me at my author page on Facebook.
Okay.
I'm on Twitter, so
okay.
people can send me messages on Twitter. But, yeah, most of the time people will, contact me that way.
I mean, sheesh, I've already been asked, two people already asked, when are you coming back?
Well, whenever you want to book me, we'll just check schedules.
I know that, but the people have already asked, so they love
you. Aw, that's so sweet.
Let me now do my homework before people kill me. I say this lovingly here. On the 15th, Sarah Avram, and by the way, if you see Sarah, wish her a happy birthday, belatedly, but wish it to her. The 15th,
aww,
Sarah and I will be getting together and doing the legal show on Monday, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday, on Blog Talk Radio, of course. on the 17th, Renee Mason will be back in the hot seat on Let's Talk, and it'll be lovely. It's at 6:30 p.m. on the 17th of May. And on the 19th, oh, God, she is now a radio host for Into the Abyss on World of Ink Radio. And she's been talking about all the horror and short stories she's been doing. She's the busiest woman I know, not trying to knock Nina, but, you know, I'm based, Elizabeth Black will be in the hot seat next week on the 19th here. So I am very excited. So, you know, right before Arms Forces Day, yeah.
Very good.
So I've now done my homework. I can go now back to you.
And we can go back to the romance versus erotic romance thing, because I keep working
exactly,
that out.
But no, I think this is why people want you to come back.
I know. So I was a young mother. I was writing romance. And then my sister loaned me some of her private stash, and they were erotic romances. Now, the difference between erotic romance and erotica is basically sex. It's not a relationship. It's more physical rather than emotional and spiritual. And so there's not necessarily a happily ever after or even a happily for now. It's basically about the act of, where erotic romance is about the relationship. And the difference between romance and erotic romance is the degree of description. It's less leaving things to the reader's imagination. And I write historical romance, and it gets very poetic, and a lot of metaphors used, and the description is different. It's more, again, more poetic, more flowery, not as much detail, less graphic. Where erotic romance, it's pretty much nothing held back. You describe things in rich detail.
Okay.
So that the reader
I have three questions, and these people are chomping at the bit at Facebook. So let me get to their lovely questions. Barry asks, is there a genre you have not tried yet and want to? Like steampunk or whatever. I'm using steampunk, but that's not his. That's just, steampunk.
Well, no, I'm going to talk subgenres, because I'm just coming out with my first motorcycle series.
Okay.
But it's not a typical motorcycle series either. I put my own special twist on things. And the next series after this that I want to do that I haven't done yet is a mafia series.
You mean you're not going to do a steampunk?
Actually, steampunk is one of the story ideas for my Replay Resort, because they do role-playing there, and it's not just strictly cosplay. They do some literary stuff. But, yeah, steampunk is one of my weekends at Replay in my list of 45 stories. I have another series that I have not started writing yet that will border more on erotica, but because I haven't written it yet, I'm not sure quite how it'll turn out or length, but I have 50 story ideas for that series.
Cordell asks, what's your schedule for upcoming books?
I have a monthly release schedule, monthly. I will have on June 1st, and this will be perma-free on Amazon. It will be Keeper, the introductory, or the Avenging Angels MC introduction. And it's a short story. It's like 2,700 words, but it gives you a really nice, hot introduction to what this series will be. And I'm going to put that up perma-free on Amazon, so it'll be on Amazon free of charge for download or on Kindle Unlimited. I don't have it downloaded yet. I was actually just working on my back matter today. The back matter is what goes behind the story.
Understand. Now, let me ask, this is from Fred. Fred asks this. If you could write in another genre, another author's genre, who would you select? Like a Kindle world or whatever.
another author genre.
Okay. Robin Peterman, I'm using Robin, and I love Robin dearly. She has a Kindle world. A couple of other authors have Kindle worlds where you write in their universe, but you can write your own characters in their universe.
Yeah, and that's not something that I'm really drawn to because I have to go with the stories that are entrusted to me to tell, and that necessarily kind of eliminates working in somebody else's world. But my husband's a huge sci-fi fan. Now, you wouldn't think that about a farmer, but, you know, Kurt Vonnegut, Isaac Asimov, you know, he grew up on the sci-fi classics. I mean, we love Forbidden Planet at our house. You know, talk about good classic
good.
Sci-fi.
Good. When it runs next time, I'll bring the popcorn.
Yeah, and so if I was going to write some really intelligent sci-fi, you know, like The Martian, I think that's probably one genre that I may never write in, but that would really intrigue me to do that. Actually, one of my distant Mercer cousins is astronaut Scott Altman. He's been up in the space shuttle 4 times, piloted twice, was commander twice, including a Hubble repair. But he was the pilot in the movie Top Gun that did Maverick stunt flying. Everything but the tower flyby, they drew straws on that one.
You mean you didn't get to say hello to Tom? I mean, sheesh.
No, I wasn't there, but my aunt's been down to launch parties, so, you know. But she's the main genealogist in the family, so she's the one that went down to the last launch party.
Okay. I'm trying to find the right words here because I've got 3 people asking similar questions. Is there a genre you won't try?
I don't do taboo, incest, child molestation. I mean, I may write about a survivor of child abuse, but I'm not going to make people live through it. Bestiality. I mean, there's a lot of places that I will never go.
Okay.
Does that answer your question sufficiently?
I haven't heard anybody make a comment, so we're good. You have to understand. I don't have them on the air because sometimes people will stutter or whatever. I'd rather read their question.
Yeah, no, that works.
Some people are like, well, why doesn't Fan go on? Because sometimes you get the trolls that aren't so friendly and nice, and you know what I'm saying.
No, I think you've got a good system.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I'm threatening you now. You're coming back.
Yes, guys,
I've made her a threat. She's coming back.
Sure.
I don't know when, and right after the show we'll discuss it, but she's coming back. Trust me, she's coming back.
And I have new releases every month, so there's always something fresh to talk about. Always.
Is there a genre you want to try?
Well, again, the sci-fi would be the one that I would be most tempted to.
You said you wouldn't really write that because your husband is a fan, but would you, would you say play in, I'm using Star Trek or Star Wars, would you, if somebody said, we'd like you to write a Star Wars story, do you think you could?
You know, Star Wars has really retold Arthurian legend.
I know that, but analyze it.
And
exactly.
I knew Arthur and Merlin. Yeah, I could write that. I remember about 70 of my past lives, including that one. You want to know what Merlin looked like?
No, I trust you. I believe you. We only have 10 minutes, and if we go on, because I love Merlin. I'm a big fan of Arthur
Robert
and Merlin.
Plank.
I'm an art. I mean, the new Arthur film's coming out with Charlie Hunnam, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I've already thought of getting tickets for the weekend.
I'll be there. Yeah. Okay,
well,
next question.
It opened tonight, so you go tomorrow, okay? But
well, I got a writer's luncheon tomorrow, so I'll be with my peeps.
And Sunday, you know, is Mother's Day.
Yep, be with family then.
Okay, well. the best thing okay, they want to know how they can get a hold of you if they want to just drop you a line or whatever.
Well, again, I've got an author page on Facebook. Author Nia, N-I-A, Nia Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L. I'm Colin's cousin that he doesn't know from America.
I'm glad you spelled it, because if not, they're going to message me in an hour and say, I can't get hold of it. I'm looking for Nina.
In Nancy, you know, just tell them, like my page. There should be an option on there to message me, I'll get to it. I do go offline for blocks of time when I write, because social media is like this black hole for sucking away time. So if I'm quiet, it's not that I'm ignoring them.
So are radio shows every once in a while, too. I know, but I love it.
Yeah.
Because I get to talk to people. Jean Jo Adam will be doing my show just announced, folks, and I'll make sure it's on Facebook at the end of the show, but Jean Jo Adam will be my guest on Flag Day, I think it's June 16th, she'll be a guest, so, oh, God, yeah, we're not playing with an empty deck.
Yeah.
People like coming and visiting and talking and everything else. So,
and we enjoy it too.
Oh, thank you. I love you too. Can I get away with that, or your husband will kill me?
No. I'll just write you into a book.
Okay. Anytime. I just got a friend of mine just wrote me into her new book. She, of course, used a fictionalized last name, but used my first name. And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, you know. I think I'm every author's little pick-on boy.
Well, now, see, I'm just a Pride and Prejudice fan, so I'm used to the Bennets.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I have a daughter named Darcy. Can't get much more of a fan than that, you know.
Well, I love Jennifer Thrott, and she just wrote me in her new book, which will be out coming at the beginning of June. So I'm like, okay. She says, do you want to read it? I said, I'll wait. Because usually I get an email from somebody going, do you know you're in such and such a book? Okay. It's you, because it talks about a blog talk radio show. Duh. All kidding aside, what's your newest release?
I'd have to do a romantic thriller with that. I'd have to have somebody actually come on that keeps messaging you that's a stalker.
Please, I remember Play Misty for Me. I just watched that last week with Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood,
yeah. Clint Eastwood and Jessica Walter, and he plays a disc jockey. Oh, my God. And they've never really made a remake of it, thank God. But it's scary enough, trust me. That and Wait Until Dark.
The scariest I've ever been in a movie was Wait Until Dark. I mean, forget Psycho. Wait Until Dark. That's it. Audrey Hepburn.
I'm not trying to promote my friends and but you need to watch The Scarapace, Gene Spacusa. That thing scared the peed out of me. It really is scary. If you get a chance to watch it, that is one to watch. So, what is the current ones that are coming up so people can buy them?
Okay, my current release is Replay Book 6, Highland Fling. It's about a special music weekend at Replay Resort where a former ballerina has to choose between two dominants. And that came out May 1st. And the next release will be Keeper, the Avenging Angel MC introduction, and that will be perma-free on Amazon when that comes out. And meanwhile, I'm in the middle of writing the first book in the series. And it's in this series, I base the titles on proverbs, idioms. So it's Find Her, and then Keeper, K-E-E-P-E-R. And then Loser, L-O-S-E-R, and then Reaper. Reaper is the president of the Blackwater Demons Motorcycle Club. So it's Finder, Keeper, Loser, Reaper in this series, the first four books.
Just don't have many psychiatrists probe your head, because, my God, you must have story ideas coming out of your pores.
Oh, I do. I probably got 200 story ideas in my files right now. Seriously.
That's why you're coming back, because we're just going to probe you. We're going to put you on the couch and probe your mind.
You know, I'm pretty much an open book. You know, I don't talk about
that.
My sex life, because that's not just about me. It's about, you know, my partner, and I don't talk politics and religion, but anything else is pretty much perfect. Or I'll talk about
I understand,
with
and
my
I'm enjoying you being that way. Have you ever thought of teaching?
Actually, I have people all the time ask me if I'm a teacher. Sometimes they'll ask me if I'm a lawyer. But, you know, and I have actually taught in a Civil War class at the local college level until they lost funding and discontinued the classes. So, yeah, I enjoy teaching. It's, as period reenactors, that's a lot of what we do.
Well, I'll tell you, when I teach, I sit on the desk. I don't sit in a chair. I sit in the desk. And I push everybody in the center of the room, and we just talk. And people are like, how is this going to teach us? And then this kid who said, how is this going to teach us, at the end of my first class, he says, God, I got 12 story ideas. I said, good, use them.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the idea that I grew up with other writers, and we just sat at the bar at conventions and just talked. And God, if you didn't get inspiration, you weren't in the room, if you know what I mean.
You weren't open to receive.
Oh, I was open to receive.
I think one reason I'm given so many stories is I'm a willing vessel. I'm open to receive. And they're given to me, and I tell people it's like I'm the scribe. I'm translating into words what's being downloaded into my brain.
Yeah,
I credit a higher source
for
all this.
You need to put them in notes, so that way, if something, God has forbid, happens to you, somebody can take the pen up for you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I plan to retire when I'm 100, so hopefully that'll be a while.
Oh yeah, we got a number of years. We're good. I'm not trying to rush you off. We only have 2 minutes left of the hour, and a lot of time. And God, I love talking to you.
I've enjoyed being here.
Well, thank you. I promise not to. I told you I wouldn't bite much.
No, and I didn't bite back either.
Little fang barks, but that's beside the point.
Love bites.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, love bites. Yeah, okay. All kidding aside, thank you, Nina. Thank you. Thank you very much for, God, I mean, yeah, we'll be talking on Facebook after the show's over, but God, I'm so impressed with you. Can I touch your ring? No.
You don't have any rings on at the moment, dear, but no, it's just, I'm just an average person doing what I love, but I work very, very hard at it. I work pretty much 24/7. When I was doing my documentary screenplay, because I was working on their deadline, it was 60 to 80 hours a week.
Well, I'm not trying to be rude. I've got to sign off in a minute, and I want to make sure that I mention next week in the hot seat will be the lovely and talented Elizabeth Black. Oh, yeah, and if you don't like her, too bad. She and of course, this next weekend is her Into the Abyss, and she has one of the screenwriters from the Blacklist, so it'll be really, really good. Good night. Fly right. Be well. Good night. Thank you, Nina.
Night.